Stay up to date on the green and gold all off season. The Green and Gold Fix podcast is brought to you by Potawatomi Casino Hotel. Luxury stay, elite play, unwind in sophisticated comfort. Win big, dine, and experience the events in Milwaukee.
Joining us now, I was going to say he's our favorite former NFL GM, but I'm going to put Ron Wolf ahead of him because, you know, I love Ron. But he's second, and Ron hasn't been on the show in forever, and this guy, whenever you ask him, he joins us. That's how good he is to us. He's your friend. I'm a big fan of him. The 33rd team, ESPN, everywhere else. It is the outstanding Mike Tannenbaum on Wilde and Tausch. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I put Ron Wolf ahead of me, too.
Okay. All right. Good. We are trying, because of the Justin Jefferson contract and Packers fans being very excited about having so much young wide receiver talent, we have spent the last couple of days delving into number one clear-cut wide receiver, or as Tausch likes to say, the ensemble cast of a show like Friends, and he refuses to acknowledge that Rachel was far above the other five. What would you rather have as an NFL general manager, having done the job?
Well, I think I would go with ensemble, because let's just put ourselves in the shoes of the Cowboys. We would certainly sign Micah Parsons before CeeDee Lamb, and I think CeeDee Lamb's a really good player, but it's just a lot easier to find him than it is Micah Parsons. So there's just, what, seven receivers that went in the first round this year. You could always find those guys. I think there's other positions that are harder to find.
So, Mike, when you see what Minnesota did, I mean, if you're in that spot, are you doing what Minnesota did?
I would have tried to sign Justin Jefferson the day after we lost Kirk Cousins and sign him maybe to $31 million a year. There is, you know, ironically, they drafted Jordan Addison, who I think is going to actually be pretty good. Mm-hmm. So I think Jefferson's arguably the best receiver in the game. But again, you have to look at supply and demand, and it's a position you can find. So I think you have to draw the line, and, you know, he just eclipsed Nick Bosa. I think I'd rather have Nick Bosa than Justin Jefferson.
So, Mike, my question, and obviously we respect the hell out of your opinion, my question is, how much pressure does that put on a GM then at the wide receiver position? Because, look, the Tennessee Titans thought they could replace A.J. Brown with Treylon Burks, right? Goody, for as good of a group of wide receivers as he's drafted the last 2 years in 22 and 23, also had the Amari Rodgerses on his resume. Like, it's, if you miss, you're in big trouble if you let a guy of that caliber walk out your door because you're just going to replenish. So how much pressure do you put on yourself as an evaluator if you take the ensemble approach?
Well, I think it gives you more margin for error. Look at the 49ers. They just took Jacob Cowing in the fourth round to go with, you know, Ricky Pearsall in the first, and either Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk won't be there next year. You know, certainly Cincinnati's trying the same approach. They took Jermaine Burton in the third round, and presumably, you know, T. Higgins will graduate in a year. So, you know, look, there's pressure to hit on all your picks. My point is you can find receivers, generally speaking. And, you know, the other way to look at it is look at the Raiders guys. They have Devontae Adams, who by all accounts is an A, but who's throwing the ball at him this year?
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Mike, just a quick little question about the dynamic of GMs. And let's say you're the GM for the Vikings, and you know you're signing Justin Jefferson to this big fat deal. And your good buddy, let's say John Schneider, has CeeDee Lamb down in Dallas. Do you give any heads up? Is there any, and I'm not saying it's collusion. We know there's collusion when it comes to restricted free agents. That's kind of been documented. But do you have those dialogues, or is it you're just about you? Do you have any conversations about, well, we're going to be paying this, here you go, and trying to help out your buddy, or is that not involved at all?
Yeah, you don't typically get into other teams' business about who they're signing and when, but you do collect information. You know, usually it's through the media or other agents about who's going where or the trade market. But when you're into specific negotiations, like, oh, I always found like the job was difficult enough. So I didn't really worry about another team. I just kind of worried about, you know, our budget, you know, just to take it behind the scenes, like every team has a cash budget in addition to a salary cap. Like, you know, look, the NFL is doing incredibly well financially. We all know that, but that doesn't mean there isn't a limit. And you have to allocate every dollar every year as, you know, judiciously as possible. So that was something that really kept me up at night as much as anything.
Mike, when you look at where Jordan Love is and where he was, I always bring this up because there are people among us that like to talk about how they knew all along that Jordan Love was going to be good. And had they sat inside Lambeau Field, where each of us beat writers had a full section to ourselves during COVID, and watched him, I don't believe that people would have said that. And I think he deserves a ton of credit, as do the coaches, for developing him into what he is now. What is he now, and what do you think he can still become based on what you saw in the second half of last season?
Yeah, I said this on air. If we were starting a team, guys, three of us were starting a team, obviously we would take Mahomes first, but I don't know who else we would take before Jordan Love second. When you factor in age, ability, upside, I think Justin Herbert would be in that conversation. I don't know who else, just given, you know, again, age and durability. That's how good I think Jordan Love is. And again, I think it's a great reminder that the quarterback is a developmental position, and, you know, talent sets the floor, character sets the ceiling. I don't know Jordan Love well, but I got to know that he loves football and he works his tail off to get that much better. And with that young group of skill players, and I think the fact that none of them are highly paid really allows Jordan Love to play point guard and throw it to the open guy. And to me, they're going to be really hard to beat this year.
So I'm curious then, as a general manager who has certainly felt the pressures of that job on multiple occasions, it was great that Goody was able to draft Jordan Love in 2020. It did not go over well with the quarterback of the present at the time. But he got to sit for 3 years because they've now had back-to-back Hall of Famers leading into his opportunity. Everyone wants to say, oh, the Packers have it figured out at quarterback, right? Oh, you let a guy sit and develop, and then he comes in and he plays like Love did during the second half of last season. What's realistic for teams that don't have Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers back-to-back to sit a guy like J.J. McCarthy's going to play pretty quickly, right? They're not going to play Sam Darnold all year, are they? Like, what, as a former GM, how do you – it's great to look at the Packers and say, boy, they really got it figured out. But if you don't have the Hall of Famers to start, I'm not sure you have it figured out, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we had that at the Jets a number of years ago. We had Chad Pennington sit for 2 years, and when Chad played, he played really well right away. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw Mahomes sit for a year. So I don't know why we're in such a rush to play these guys, you know, for all the wrong reasons. Nobody wants to see anybody get hurt. But I think you can make an argument that Anthony Richardson may be in a better situation going into his second year than someone like Bryce Young, who just got, you know, beat up last year behind, you know, an offensive line that wasn't good enough. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But to me, you know, it goes back to, let's give these guys time to develop. They're not all created equal. And, you know, does J.J. McCarthy have to play from day one? I don't know why that's he does. You know, like, mm-hmm. Let him develop, and if he's ready on Halloween, great. If it's Thanksgiving, who cares? Like, does it matter if, you know, Minnesota's 6-11 this year or 8-9? Like, it's much more important that they get J.J. McCarthy right for the next 10 years.
Well, that's an organizational thing, though, isn't it, Mike? Because you're going to have a ton of pressure, you know, the GM, if it's in it, like the Bears situation. You know, Eberflus is on a pretty short deal. How that's going to work out, you're going to play Caleb Williams right away because he's your first overall pick and there's nobody else behind him. Isn't it more of an organizational thing than, because I think everybody, if they had time, would say, yeah, let's give a year or two to let these guys develop. Even Patrick Mahomes sat for a year.
Absolutely. And I think that's where you need organizational alignment between the head coach, the GM, and the owner to say, like, hey, like, what are we doing here? You know, what's the vision? And making sure that we're all on the same page. And yeah, Caleb Williams is going to play from day one, but is that really in his best interest, again, for the next 10 years?
That's a great question, and we'll find out. So, Mike, before we let you go, the Packers and Jordan Love, we heard Goody talking about wanting to get it done before training camp. How does that work from a deadline standpoint? Because Jordan Love, I don't think he is going to be one of those guys. I know you dealt with Darrell Revis where he sat out, and that puts more pressure on. How do you as a front office guy look at this? Because would you be all right with him playing at $11 million? Do you want to, how do you get it where everybody is going to be happy? And what do you think that number is going to look like when Jordan Love eventually does sign?
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah, you do want him to be happy. He's the most important person in your organization. In terms of the number, if I was him, I'd play it out this year and walk in and say, hey, I want that number to start with a 6 next year. Because, again, given his age and his ability, I think time's on his side. So I don't think if I'm Jordan Love, I'm in a rush to get anything done.
Wow. That was not the answer I was expecting.
I thought you were going to say, yeah, let's get this at like 53. 50. So you want, if you're Jordan Love's team, you're saying I'll play for $11 million and I want to totally reset the market next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? And why should I take a nickel less than the highest paid player in the history of the sport? Maybe it's 62, maybe it's $63 million a year. Again, given his age and his ability, I don't know who played better quarterback than he did over the back half of the season. Like, if you just took the name off of everyone's jersey and just evaluated how they played the position, he was outstanding.
Uh-huh. Wow. All right. Hey, Mike, last thing. We kind of have a moratorium on talking Aaron Rodgers around here because some of our fans don't want to hear him about him. But as someone who acquired Brett Favre and whose team was 8-3 before he ruptured his biceps, obviously Rodgers' first season in New York went even worse because his injury came 4 plays into the season. But as you're watching that unfold, what do you expect from him and that team this year?
You know, look, if they stay healthy, they have a chance to be really, really good guys. You know, that's obviously a big if. I think there's going to be a lot of quick game. I think they're going to play keep away, not let him get hit. And you'll see a lot of behind line of scrimmage, a lot of pre-snap reads, just in terms of, like, I don't think you're going to see 5- and 7-step drop, you know, 20-yard down the field chunk plays for a while. I think this is all going to be about getting the ball out of his hands, getting him through the first few games. There's going to be so much scrutiny on that that I just would be surprised if we saw anything else.
Yeah, no cut blocking, that's for sure. Mike, you're the best, man. We really appreciate you making time for us. Thanks for always answering at least Tausch's calls. We appreciate it.
All right. Okay. Thanks, guys.
That is Mike Tannenbaum. You can see him on ESPN all the time. We have to further discuss.
There's some delving.
What he said there, because look, he's done it. He's been a GM for 2 different organizations. He also understands very well how the game is played from the agent side. The idea that he floated about what Jordan Love and his team should do, we need to talk more about that. And we'll do that next. Wow! It's Wilde and Tausch.